Will American spying overshadow economics at the EU today?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. European leaders gather in Brussels today for a summit. Their meeting has been overshadowed by a new transatlantic spat about U.S. spying. The German magazine Der Spiegel claims the U.S. monitored German Chancellor Angela Merkel's mobile phone. From the European desk in London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The claim that America's National Security Agency eavesdropped on Angela Merkel's personal conversations could have an economic impact. It seems likely to give fresh impetus to a measure backed by the European Parliament this week. The Parliament voted to toughen penalties on domestic and foreign companies that break strict European data protection laws. That could hit the US internet companies like Google hard. Gus Hussein of the Privacy International campaign says the revelations about Merkel's mobile have made tougher restrictions on transatlantic data flows more likely.
Now that the heads of state from across Europe are targets for the National Security Agency, they're going to start taking this matter a hell of a lot more seriously.
Some analysts suggest that the Merkel revelations could also complicate the $4 trillion transatlantic free trade deal currently under negotiation. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We've been reporting on the sloppy and some say disastrous debut of the federal health insurance exchanges. Well, representatives of the four lead contractors who designed and built that system will be on Capitol Hill today for the first of many hearings on the flawed rollout of the Affordable Care Act. These companies are not upstarts, but big outfits that have worked on government projects for a long time. Marketplace's David Gura explains why.
The process of landing a deal with the government is Byzantine. David Van Slyke teaches business and government policy at Syracuse. He says there are so many rules and requirements.
And that ends up closing out other potential vendors from entering the market.
On top of that, working with the government is not easy, says Steve Ryan with the McDermott Law Firm.
Look, you have to make a commitment to be a government contractor.
A commitment that a lot of Silicon Valley firms may be reluctant to make.
The commitment often requires that you have a cost accounting system that is not consistent with commercial practices.
A system you'd have to build from scratch, and that isn't cheap. David Van Slyke at Syracuse says there's been resistance to reforming the acquisition process.
The firms that have an advantage already in the government contracting market are not looking to lose that advantage by having new upstarts enter the market.
Which keeps the pool of companies bidding for and winning big contracts pretty small. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. After news this morning that activity at Chinese factories has hit a seven-month high, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.4%. So is the FT 100 in London. So is the Nikkei, another 0.4% there. Coincidence? Absolutely.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Some colleges in the South are unhappy with the U.S. military. The Pentagon wants to put more of its ROTC recruiting programs into more urban areas and is pulling out of some rural southern campuses. The Reserve Officers Training Corps offers scholarships in return for later military service. Some students pick a college because of their ROTC programs and could find themselves without the stipend that they were depending on to pay for school. New York Times reporter Alan Blinder has been writing about this. Mr. Blinder, good morning.
Good morning.
Why is the Army doing this, phasing out ROTC programs at some of these colleges in the rural South?
Well, they are frankly trying to recalibrate their recruiting footprint around the country. They focused on programs that weren't meeting a minimum threshold for officer production, and the Army believes that the money and manpower could be spent better elsewhere.
The shift seems to be toward urban areas?
Areas that we know they're targeting include Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, places where they feel like they've got a big recruiting population, but where they feel they're underrepresented anyway.
The students who are going to schools that may not have an ROTC program in a couple years, some of them feel left high and dry.
Some Some of them do. Some of them are transferring to other universities that have ROTC programs. Others will go a route that allows them to get a direct commission in the Army if they have certain educational training, like a nursing degree. And there are some others who will probably just abandon their Army plans entirely and opt for a life as a civilian.
Now, Alan, I've done coverage in the past that ROTC enrollment fluctuates with the economy. Where's enrollment at the moment?
Enrollment is hovering right around 33,000, which is somewhere roughly in the middle of where it's been in the last decade or so. You had some significant drop-off while the United States was engaged in conflict abroad. And then you saw a rise as those conflicts came to a conclusion and as the economy worsened.
The news that the ROTC program will go at some of these colleges is not sitting well with the colleges. Should we expect a fight?
Well, the colleges are doing everything they can to push back against the Pentagon. They've enlisted members of Congress, and in a lot of cases, these schools are also asking very powerful graduates to get involved. At Tennessee Tech, they've asked Carl Steiner, who is a retired four-star general who used to run Special Operations Command, to get involved. And when I reached him recently, he was sitting at his computer writing an email trying to rouse support.
Well, we'll see what happens. Alan Blinder, New York Times, Atlanta, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And video of the UC Davis policeman vigorously spraying Occupy protesters 2 years ago became an internet meme. Now there's word the officer will receive $38,000 in workers' comp money for the stress-related problems that resulted from the incident. The Davis Enterprise is reporting that the officer's compensation is $8,000 more than the $30,000 each of 21 protesters got for the wrongful spraying or arrest. The newspaper said the officer was eventually fired after 8 months of paid leave. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.